23 past 11. Simple question for you. 9221882, but perhaps a complex answer, or at least a complex pathway to get to the answer, if you know what I mean. Would you like more children to play in your street? It happens from time to time in my street, which is a suburban street, but it's not that far. It's only a block or two off a major road, and some people do use it to cut through. That said, there's four kids who live in the house over the road from me, four young kids, and it's really good when you see them out riding their bikes and playing in the street. There's other kids a bit further up the street who are out and playing as well from time to time. I would love to see more of this. And I wonder about you, 9221882. If you're an older listener, perhaps you were the kid that played routinely in the street, and I'd like to hear from you about that, whether it was cricket or tennis or football or netball or whatever it was. But I think there's something about playing in the front yard as opposed to playing in the backyard that's a more communal experience. It sort of connects you with neighbours a bit better. The great challenge, of course, is safety. So how do we make it safer, and how do we encourage more kids to play in the streets? Well, it's something that La Trobe University have had a look at with a study here talking about free street play. The CEO of Play Australia is Barbara Champion. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
Thank you for your time. How do we achieve it? How do we get more kids playing out in the street? And what are the benefits of them playing out in the street?
The benefits, Gareth, are numerous, in the sense that we are all very concerned at the poor health and well-being of our kids today. There's lots of publicity around this issue, and we're all thinking about, in the play and recreation sectors, how, and government, how we can assist kids to be more active. And of course, the importance of kids playing in their local streets and neighbourhoods is that they can do it all the time. Parks, we have some wonderful parks, and in Perth, of course, you have some of the best in the country. But in order for kids to access parks, they need to be taken there, generally speaking. And the riding of the bikes, and this wonderful introduction you gave to this story this morning, shows that it needs to happen all the time as neighbours are able to get together to make local decisions about how best to do it, I suppose.
When do you reckon it started to ebb away? I mean, when was the decade where this started to disappear?
It was probably the 80s. Certainly the access to cars, of course, had a huge impact on this. But then, of course, more recently, kids' obsessions with devices, and lots of reasons. Busy parents, women working. When I grew up, women didn't go to work. Women stayed home, poor things, and spent all day doing domestic duties. They didn't have time, in fact, to be worried about us, so we just wandered the streets and did what we wanted. So it's a multiplicity of things, but I feel very positive about the community's passions to take steps to better support our kids. And in Perth, you've got some fabulous examples of people who have been doing this for a long time. We've been working with the cities of South Perth and the city of Vincent, and they're running some play street projects. Well, not at this very moment, but we're halfway through a pilot project, and we're finding a very positive attitude towards enabling kids to have greater freedom and therefore assume greater responsibility for their own play.
Just describe to me a play street project. What is it? What does it look like? What does it involve?
It involves the council and the neighbours in a street working out when they would like to close their street and what support they need to enable that to happen. So clearly, because of traffic in particular, but not just traffic, we need to have signage, we need to have supervision, we need to have notices to people, we need to make sure that it is a true community event and that everybody is involved. And so that takes some organising. And what we've learnt from overseas is that this organising can take place on a very long term, in a long term way, so that residents in Bristol, for instance, can get a permit from the council to run a play street every week for a year, and you don't have to go back to council all the time. We are planning on talking to your roads department in WA about how they might look at the at speed of cars and so forth. And so there's no one rule for every community. Clearly, it's much easier to organise if you live in a court as opposed to living on a main highway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a matter of people consulting. And I think what we've learnt through the COVID-19 shutdown is that people have been so much keener to use their local spaces. Parks were closed, so in a sense that was all you had. And we were encouraging people to get outside. Children's mental health is becoming a real concern to the country. The federal government is very concerned about it. And we know, because of all of the research around the world, that activity and active play is the best way by far of dealing with these kind of health issues. I suppose you'd describe them as health issues, but mental health seems to be the buzzword at the moment. And many adults are saying that they're really very concerned about the mental health of young children, which is very alarming.
Barbara, cars are really the central issue here, aren't they? They're the elephant in the room. It's our imperative to get places quickly and efficiently to get to and from work and shopping and whatever it is we need to do moving around. But that is not without consequences, and we need cars to get around. Many people would like to see less car dependence. Other people are absolutely fine with the amount of time they spend in their cars, so I think that's worth recognising. But cars are really the central element of this debate, aren't they?
I think that's right, and I think that they're always going to be with us. But how fast we drive the cars in our residential areas, there's a number of projects going on around the country to reduce the speed of cars in residential areas. And, of course, people who drive cars have kids.
That's right.
I think we often categorise people quite unhelpfully in a way, because we assume that a car driver doesn't care about a kid. That's not the case.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of beginning this journey around how can we make our streets more livable, more usable. And it's also interesting that governments, again, coming out of COVID-19, are starting to indicate real support for a shift in the way that streets are used. And I know at the moment most people probably think that streets were built for cars, and they were. But in fact, because we had so fewer of them in the past, we used them for a whole range of other things. Whereas we're now saying the car, the bike, the skateboarder, the scooter, the pram, the play, all needs to happen in a shared zone. For instance, in Holland, they have magnificent shared zone streets all over the country, and children don't get damaged, they don't get injured, because it's a cultural thing. And so we're beginning this conversation, I guess, with the community and with the government to see what examples we can work on to improve the lot of everybody in the long run.
Barbara, it's a great discussion. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Barbara Champion, CEO of Play Australia.